Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading with verse 12. Galatians 4. We're continuing our series on discipleship. Verse 12. Brethren, I urge you to become like me. For I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always and not only when I am present with you. My little children, this is a verse we've been using now. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Let's read that again. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to present with you, to be present with you now, and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? As a part of discipleship, I've mentioned this verse week in and week out, and this week and next, I believed I needed to go to these verses because they're so much a part of what I believe God is wanting to say to us as a church. And this particular verse for some 2 years now, over 2 years now, has been on my heart and mind. And so we need to just go to this verse and to pay attention to it. Because what we believe is this. In order for us to become the disciple God would have us to become, Christ must be formed in us. Would you say amen to that? There must be spiritual formation. There must be Christ must be formed in us. The Apostle Paul said time and time again, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I like what the little child said. They kept talking about Jesus. So where does Jesus live? You know, we've asked that question many times of children, and children say, He lives within my heart. He lives within my heart. And then the little kid said, shouldn't he be showing through? If Jesus lives in us, shouldn't he be showing through? And we would say, that's very wise of a child. They know that if you say he lives in you, then he must be showing through somewhere. And that is the truth of the Scripture, that Christ would be formed in us. This morning I want to deal with this subject of Christ formed. Christ formed. When we consider Christianity, when we consider true what it means to be a Christian, and we consider true faith in Christ, Christianity from that viewpoint, I would say one of the perhaps the foundational and thing that causes this world in a real sense to reject true Christianity and the human heart sometimes is rejects Christianity and the work of Christ, and I think it's all over this idea of Christ being formed in us. You see, because there's a natural inclination within humanity to be in control. There's a natural inclination for me to always to favor myself and to see myself in a good light. That's why some people can do something really terrible and you ask them about it, but they're going to phrase it in ways that make them sound like it was somehow it's in a good light. So the perspective, people, we have a tendency to even something terrible that happens, let me tell you why I did this, and we begin to explain ourselves out of it because we don't want to anybody to see us not in a good light. Well, what I want us to understand about that today, that is pride. And see, pride, self-pride, is that comes against what Christ is wanting to do in our life, because Christ wants to be formed in us, meaning He wants to shape us into His image and His likeness. He wants to shape us in a way that we'll look more like Him, but then there's this innate thing. Paul said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one good, no one righteous, no, not even one. There's that within us that wants to kind of put ourselves out front and put ourselves first, and we're not sure about being shaped into what we don't have control over. So there's this battle that rages. You see, in order for us to truly be saved and to come, when we are truly born again, there is a change that comes. There is a transformation that takes place. But this transformation comes while in our flesh it's not wanting to be transformed or changed. And so there comes a time of submission where we submit to the work of God in our life and we reject that self-pride. And what I want us to see here in this text, and I'll be able to explain in a brief way about what is going on when we read this. But what we see is there's a group of Judaizers, they were called. The Judaizers were people who had accepted Christ, we might say, and I'm putting with quotations, but yet they wanted to hang on to all of the Jewish tradition and to the law. Well, that by itself is not okay. In fact, that was a heresy, a false teaching in the early church. The Judaizers were false teachers. Because they were saying, on the one hand, you can accept Jesus, but on the other hand, you've got to work your way to heaven. Does anybody understand what I'm saying here? You got to work your way to heaven, but at the same time, you got Jesus. The Apostle Paul is rejecting that notion. He's coming against that, and he's talking to the Galatian church, trying to get them to understand. See, what happens is, you see, if works have something to do with it, you see, it really allows for our pride to kind of stay intact. You see what I'm saying? Because I can check things off. You know, I did that. I checked this off. I did that. So what happened is the Judaizers, there were Galatian Christians who were being drawn away out of true faith in Jesus Christ and full faith in Jesus Christ, and they were following and listening to this lie of the Judaizers that said, okay, yeah, you accept Jesus, but you still got to do all of the Jewish stuff. You still got to keep all of these legalistic things, these laws, these different things that are involved with the Old Testament law. And that way, see, we can check things off. You see, our pride is somehow stroked as long as I can check something off. I can look at it and say, man, I did that. You know what? We can get into that just with our Bible reading. We can, if we're not careful, we can get into lifted up in pride. Our Bible reading should be about submission to God, you see? Submission to God. But here, if we're not careful, see, the heart is, Jeremiah said it's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? My heart can just get right on the edge of being right but yet wrong. My heart can be right on the edge of submission and in humility standing before God, but yet at the same time bordering on pride. Does anybody understand what I'm getting at now? You see, this is what the Apostle Paul was dealing with. He's saying it's Christ needs to be formed in your life. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And what we learn from the Apostle Paul, that it is by grace through faith. And so Judaizers, they were catering to pride. Instead of knocking pride down, instead of saying it's all Jesus, they want to say it's Jesus and my works that saves me. Now you say, well, the Bible says faith without works is dead. Absolutely. But works come out of a life of faith. Paul said to Timothy that we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. We're God's workmanship in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say, for good works. Yeah, works are to flow out of a life of belief and faith in Jesus, but it does not add to my salvation. It does not contribute to the fact that I am saved. That's why I can't just serve in these ministries and everything be all right with my soul. I can't serve in kids' church and be in the music ministry and be on the parking team and the greeting team and the list goes on, teaching a class just to somehow just perform for the Lord so that I can have things right with God. No, those things are all to flow. I want to tell you, every believer should serve the Lord. In fact, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, those scriptures talk about us being disciples and go and make disciples. It says, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. Yes, a person who is born again, a person who is saved, should observe the things of the Lord. It's really a life of obedience. But it's a life of humility, not of pride. Pride cometh before the fall. Pride bringeth destruction. And the Apostle Paul is trying to teach these Galatian believers that they cannot go into this and attach themselves to this false teaching. And he challenges them this. I'm taken back by his words. He said, I would like, verse 20, to present, to be present with you now and change my tone. He basically, I don't know what his tone, you know, in our English we lose a lot of things from the original language if we'd have heard him talking. If we could have got the all the emotions of his writing here. But Paul is saying, I would like to be present with you and change my tone because I'm perplexed about you. I'm bothered about y'all. You see, Paul wanted them to understand that it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Flip over to Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. It's not about me. It's not about my agenda. It's not about you. It's not about your agenda. It's about Jesus. Paul said, the life that I now live, it's in Christ. It's Christ that works in me. I don't have anything. I'm not to go around just bragging about how many chapters I read last week. I'm not bragging about you're not bragging about your service. It's not about that. It's just about serving. It's not bragging about how much you love. It's about loving. It's not bragging about mercy. It's about being merciful. It's all about Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I want to tell you, if we kept reading past verse 21, he would begin to show them about Abraham and about there was a child that was born to a bondwoman named Hagar, and his name was Ishmael. But then he talks about Sarah. Sarah gave birth to a son of promise, and Isaac, and this son of promise, she's a free woman. And what I'm telling you is, if you get yourself locked into some kind of works righteousness, it'll bring bondage on your life. But if you'll hang on to Jesus, there's freedom. I can't do it on my own, but Christ who lives in me, I can walk this thing out and I can accomplish what He would have me to accomplish because I'm living in Christ. I can't do it in my own efforts. I can't do it in my own strength. It will fail me. But if I cling to Christ, I cling to the cross, and I glory saving the cross of Jesus. And if you see anything good in me, it's because of Jesus. If I'm able to accomplish anything worth anything, it'll be because of Jesus. It is about Him. It is not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's about who He is. It's not about us. So how is He formed? How does this Christ formation take place then? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 19 again. My little children, for whom I labor in birth pains until Christ is formed in you. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we want to see happen. How does that happen? I want you to look at verse 5 of chapter 3. It says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, I want you just to notice there. Let's just extract from that. What we notice here is the terminology of the Spirit. He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What I want you to see is here, how does this Christ formation work? It's not by the works of the law, it's by faith. It's by the hearing of faith. That's what chapter 3, verse 5 said. It's by the hearing of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is by faith, but the work is accomplished by God through the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me now? It's by faith in God who accomplishes it through the Holy Spirit in our life. It's a work of God through the Holy Spirit in my life. This is how Christ's formation. That's why I must surrender myself to the potter who has me in his hands, as we've talked about last couple of weeks. Him, he presses me and forms me. He makes me into what he wants me to be, what he wants me to become. And so there it is. There's where it happens at. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Thanks be unto God. This is what it's all about. Verse 6 of Galatians chapter 4 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" I want you just to notice the word Spirit again. It's the work of the Spirit that is moving and working in our life. So here we go. God, help me. Oh, we don't have Sunday school. Thank you, Jesus. Paul brings them back to the beginning of the gospel in their life and its effect on their life. So I want you to go to verse 12. He said, "Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you." Now I want you to understand what he's saying. Again, he's addressing people who have been swindled by these Judaizers, who's trying to get them to go back into works of the law as their means of salvation and to keep their salvation. That's still not the way it's to work. And so he's saying is, now hold on. He's what he's telling them. He said, "I urge you to become like me." He's reminding them of where they came from. He said, "When I first started preaching the gospel to you, I urged you to follow me, to become like me, because I had come to Christ." I want you to get the picture here. He's basically saying, "Man, I got saved, I've been born again, and I urge you to follow me in that way." So we got to understand, don't get tangled up by the language here. Paul's not suggesting that they become his follower in that sense, but in the sense that he was imitating Jesus, yes. And so he said, "I urge you." So when I came to you with the gospel, and he said, "I being a Jew," he said, "I came to you Gentiles. And I came not doing the works of the law among you. I came to you as a man totally leaning on Jesus, and telling you that was not the way." Now, another dispensation. That was a different. But now that Christ has come, put your faith in Christ. This was the under the new covenant. This was the plan. And said, "This is what I brought to you. But now you have not required me at all now, because y'all are following Judaizers." This is what's going on when we read the whole context. "You're listening to these other people. But when I first came to you, you were listening to me on this, and you believed in this, what I'm telling you, that Christ, it's all about Jesus. But now, you hadn't even asked me any questions, and now you're following these Judaizers, these false teachers." That's what he's saying to them. Now listen, verse 13. "You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first." So now, gospel at the first, when he's bringing them back to the beginning of when they heard the gospel in Galatia. And he said, "I preached to you the gospel," and he talks about his infirmity here. Now, I want you to understand something. There's books written on this subject, so I can't tell you exactly what it is, but Paul talked about that he had a thorn in the flesh, that there was a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him. There are some schools of thought that believe it was a physical infirmity that the devil used. Because he says right here, "Because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." So I want you to see here, when I first told you this message, when I first preached the gospel, he said, "You received me, you received the message that I had as if I were an angel of God sent to you, and I didn't even present it in a very beautiful way. I was going through a trial physically in my body, so it wasn't like I was some kind of flashy preacher that came in. I didn't just one of these people that had it all together, but I preached to you the simplicity of the gospel, even though it was not a beautiful presentation. I had some stuff. I had some physical infirmities I was dealing with. What then was the blessing you enjoyed when I was there? He's saying to them. For I bear you witness that if possible, talking about back then, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. See, a lot of people believe the physical infirmity was his eyes. So I want you just to picture just a moment that just say he had an eye infection. Let's just say his eyes were swollen somewhat. He was not presentable. It was irritating. And he's saying, at that time, y'all would have plucked y'all's eyes out and give to me because you had received this gospel with joy. You had understood what I was saying, and you would do anything for that. You received that gospel. Have I therefore become your enemy now because I tell you the truth, and you're listening now to these Judaizers? Listen, verse 17. They zealously, talking about the Judaizers, they zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. He's saying what they really want to do is they want you to become their followers so they can get prideful about it. So it will stroke their ego. He's saying they're all about themselves. They're not about Jesus. They're all about their little following. They're not about Jesus. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always. He's saying there's some things that's great to be zealous about, and not only when I'm present with you. I'm not telling you not to be growing and being fired up and keep doing those things. But my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I want you to notice the difference. The enemy wants to exclude you, verse 17. The enemy wants you to run aground. The enemy wants you, he wants to just stroke his ego. The devil is all about I. He said, I will ascend unto God. And his false teachers are the same. They're wanting to have their own ego stroked. But he is saying, I travail in birth pangs until Christ being formed in you. The Apostle Paul said, we're not as they are. We're about Jesus. We're not about Paul. We're about Jesus. We're not like the Judaizers that are only concerned with their little cult. I want to ask you today, going back, on one hand, there's people in here that you are tender to the gospel this very minute, and there may be somebody in here who needs to receive Jesus right now. It's all about Jesus. On the other hand, there may be those among us who've gotten off track, and we've fallen into a works righteousness mentality. And we're just leaning on what we're doing and not on the relationship that we have with the Lord. And we're just leaning on acts of service. We're leaning on a list that we can check off in our mind. We're leaning on some kind of self-created point system that we think we have with God. And I hope that we're being reminded this morning by the Spirit of God that it's all by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not of works, lest we could brag about that. It's about Jesus. He's the one. The Spirit of the Lord is the one that brings the change. We'll serve Him and work and do His bidding, but we'll do it effectively as we kneel down and He is glorified. As He is lifted up, and if we'll follow Him and humble ourselves before the Lord and serve the Lord with all that is within us, Listen, that's all we're to do, and that we follow. Works follow the believer, but works do not save the believer. You may have fallen to that trap. Listen, I would say don't be embarrassed. It's an easy thing to happen. But let's surrender to the Lord today. Say, God, take me back. That's what he was doing. Apostle Paul was taking them back in their memory to when they first believed. Today, I want to take you back into your first memory of when you first believed. And it was just about Jesus. You didn't have it all figured out. You just followed Jesus. And then the Lord revealed his will to you day by day. And you desire to be obedient to him. And so that's how you walk. That's how you walk in holiness, is by being obedient to the Lord. By loving. You do it by surrendering your will to his will. Father, in the name of Jesus, I can't preach short to save my life. I've tried. I really don't care about that. But what I do care about, God, is somebody hearing a word from you that would radically transform their life, that would help them to grow, would help them not to be enslaved by the enemy, that would help them to not be deceived, but would help them to walk and follow you and to fulfill your plan in their life. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would shake every one of us today. That Jesus be preeminent above all. That Jesus be glorified above all. Hallelujah to the Lamb of glory. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. If you're in this room today and you say, I just need to pray, I want you all to stand with me. I want you, about anything. I want to invite you to pray today. If that's anything you need to lay down, anything you need to cast upon the Lord today, to cast your care upon Him, anything you need to just to forfeit and say, God, here it is, I give it up. Anything, Lord, that you need to just talk to Him about. These altars are open to you to talk to Him. To talk to Him. He's the one who's going to grant us everything that we need. Lord, I'm thankful that, Lord, your promises in the Word of God are yea and amen for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us, Lord, to be totally surrendered to you in the name of Jesus. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we continue in the spirit of prayer this morning, you feel free. In just a moment, we're going to be dismissed in the service. But anybody would like to still come pray, you come pray today. May God bless you. Pastor Jody is going to be preaching tonight at 6:30. Amen. Be in much prayer, always. God bless you.